We're back to the Neil Haley Show in the Total Celebrity segment, and I'm excited to welcome to the program again the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. Caregiver Dave, Dave, how are you? And Dave, we just have some really interesting convos every day. It just seems like it seems like Groundhog Day, but guess what? We're going to get through this, man. 2020 is going to end, and we'll get to 2021. I can't believe I'm saying that, but we're halfway through 2020, and we've had a journey, haven't we, Dave?
Absolutely. It is like Groundhog Day. You know, everything was supposed to open up, and then this happens.
And we're not, that's something for us to just
and
hopefully.
After this, there'll probably be something else.
There'll be something else all the way to November, and we'll have to deal with it. But we have an amazing guest that I'm sure I would love to know all the media people she's covered in her career, and that podcasting is going to be just simple for her compared to all the other experiences she's had. But go ahead and introduce our guest.
Nikki Boyer, beautiful actress and host of Wondery's Dying for Sex, is a vibrant, comedic personality, three-time Emmy Award winner, TV personality. As host of Yahoo's Daytime and No Time, Boyer became the most watched woman on the web, garnering over 700 million clicks. Wow! She recently guest starred in TBS's Angie Tribeca. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Netflix revival of the Gilmore Girls, my favorite show.
Aw.
Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. You guys.
Yeah. So, Nikki, how are you surviving LA as a social person like you are when the whole pandemic and dealing with just the quarantine?
Well, I was a pretty hardcore like quarantiner. I have to say, I felt it. I knew we were going to need to do it. And luckily, doing the podcast world, you know, I'm new into the podcast world, but it's what the beauty of it is that I have a little studio in my house, so I work a lot. I get to do these beautiful stories for our show called The Daily Smile. I get to engage with people over the phone. So I've been one of the lucky ones that continues to work and gets to tell beautiful stories. But I have to say, it's been really challenging because I'm a person that likes to touch and hug and look in people's eyes. So it's been challenging. Yeah, exactly. So I miss everyone and I miss my family back in St. Louis. But having said that, I want to be part of the solution, obviously, and not part of the problem. So I'm just being careful.
Now, did the pandemic actually cause you to go into the podcasting? You were doing it before?
Well, when I did the show Dying for Sex with Wondery, that was pre-pandemic, and so that released in February. And then they, you know, there were rumblings about the show called The Daily Smile, actually pre-pandemic. So then when the pandemic hit, Wondery was like, oh my gosh, a good news story every day called The Daily Smile. I can't think of a better time. Let's go ahead and get this going. So we debuted on the 18th. So I've been doing that as well. It wasn't really as a result of the pandemic, but it's very serendipitous because it was perfect timing. Like, everybody needs a little good news story each day.
Yeah.
So
tell me, Nikki, let me ask you the first question. Just who is Nikki Boyer and why did God put you on this earth? And besides, you know, where did you grow up and what are your interests?
Oh, thanks for asking. That's so nice. I don't know why God put me here.
One day you'll find out, I guess.
I guess I will. I'll let you know. I'll send you a sign from the other side. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I was very fortunate at a very young age to get a job in television, right? Like, I was a singer and an actress and a dancer. Yeah, back in St. Louis, I was the host of the kids' cartoon hour. So when the kids come home from school, I was hosting live segments in between the cartoons. So my first job really was performing and learning how to do live television. So I got very fortunate at like 14, 15, 16, I was working. So television and being a host and entertaining has just kind of always been a part of my life. So when I graduated from college, I moved to LA and decided, well, let's see if I really got what it takes. And here I am, like 25 years later, I'm still doing it. So I kind of figured out how to make a living.
How does a teenager get a gig like that, though?
Well, it's funny you ask. I went to an audition because there was an open call in St. Louis. They said, looking for bright vibrant role model teens to be a part of this, you know, group. And so I went and auditioned for the dance group thinking we would just do performances at like local schools and at like Six Flags, you know, things like that. And then eventually it sort of morphed into, they plucked a few of us out of the dance group and said, we want you to sort of do some live cartoon hosting, do stuff with the kids, be a part of our kids club. And I thought, well, sure. Okay. I had no idea it would pave the way for the rest of my career. So I'm so grateful for the people that gave me that opportunity because it really shaped my life. So yeah. And then here I am now still hosting, telling stories, entertaining. I don't dance anymore. I'm too tired for that. but I do consider myself a very fortunate person to be able to do what I love. And I've been doing it since I was, you know, 15. So basically that's like, I've only been doing this for like 10 years. Just kidding.
Now, so here's a question for you based on that answer. Who did you model as a journalist in certain ways that, and an actress that kind of really liked to kind of watch when you were growing up into this industry to say, I want to become someone like that or have
that's
those,
a really I love these questions. You guys ask really good questions.
Well,
I love this show.
Professionals.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You know, I remember being in St. Louis and I remember seeing Oprah as a kid. And what I loved about her, first of all, I loved seeing a woman of color hosting her own daytime talk show. And I loved that you never knew what was going to happen. And I loved her journalistic integrity. And I loved that she brought fun. I just loved watching her. And I remember thinking, well, how do I do that? And I not really understanding what she was doing, but I remember watching it and being enamored by her. And then I really loved Katie Couric. And then I also, back in St. Louis, you guys know who Jack Buck is? I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
Jack Buck.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Christine Buck is his daughter, and she worked in the newsroom when I was working in the newsroom as well. And I just remember admiring her and watching her sort of navigate being a woman in the newsroom and telling hard-hitting news stories, but also being big-hearted and kind and lovely. So she was, I don't even know if I've ever told her that, but she was really a mentor of mine. I really looked up to her.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. When you look at those things, I try to do now. Radio came second nature to me. Now I'm trying to get on camera more. And yeah. I really need to improve. I'm a very big critique of myself because I do social media branding. I'm a former professional wrestler. So I look at people and look at specific things and watch the news and watch how they interact and just really understand that as a journalist, we really just ask good questions. That's what we're here mm-hmm. to do, even on television. It's not about making an attention to ourselves at all. Professionally, when people are talking, you're not nodding like you're having a conversation. Well, I had to do a lot more studying of that during this pandemic to say, oh my gosh, I hate myself on camera. I have, and I'm like, this is, and that's how much of a critique I am. I can't even listen to my interviews sometimes. I get so.
Oh my gosh, we always ourselves? We're always our worst critics, right?
I just
but
can't.
I love your voice and your questions are amazing. I need to see you on TV.
Well, again, tune in tonight, Facebook Live, 5 p.m. as I moderate.
I'm doing it.
A debate on VIP Internet Radio's Facebook page, but you'll see me share it on Neil S. Haley as well, and you'll
That's
check
great.
It out. The major person not showing up is Laura Loomer, who is a media darling in herself, and she's running for Palm Beach County for a U.S. Congress, and she is not showing up. Every candidate that for the Republican U.S. 19, I think it is showing up except her, and she's the front runner for the nomination to go against whoever is currently in Congress. But
okay.
You can see me and watch me do that and ask
Yay.
The right questions, and I appreciate that. Now, Dave, go to the next question, but she's awesome to work with. See, the best interviews I've always had are journalists themselves because they know when to wait. They know when to take their time and they know when to pass it on. I can mention it from interviewing Nancy Grace to different people. It's just like it's a walk in the park versus an actress or an actor who just is not used to it. Either they're used to the quick soundbite or they're used to talking for hours. And it really doesn't bring that conversation. And I hate podcasting one time when someone talks for 30 minutes, but that's how podcasting is becoming. So a lot of our journalist training is thrown out the window. But again, it's all about your style. All right, Dave, next question.
All right, well, it sounds like he's flirting with you now.
I'm waiting for it. Come on now, give me a call. No, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, Nikki, you've had a lot of breaks, obviously. What would you consider as your biggest break that just opened the door and then the floodgates?
Well, I have to say, when my career felt like there was a game changer happening, like I was lucky enough to host a show on Yahoo, right? It was called Daytime in No Time. It was a really fun show. It was a 3 to 4 minute show every day that highlighted all the fun clips from daytime TV. And I did that for like 5 years, I think. And that's what made me one of the most watched women on the web. I think we got, like you said in my bio, like 700 million clicks. It was just such a game changer for my life. So I loved that job. It gave me an opportunity to be on camera, to be comedic, to be funny every single day, and I loved it. But I really feel like when my career took a big shift, it was just recently with the release of the Dying for Sex podcast. So if anybody hasn't listened, it's a podcast about my best friend Molly, who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And when she got the terminal diagnosis news after battling it for 4 or 5 years, she decided to do something really bold, and she decided to leave her marriage and go on a sexual journey and find sort of the antithesis to death for her was being sexual. So I found it to be so interesting as her best friend, but also as a human being, I thought this is a really interesting response to having someone tell you that you're dying, that you leave the thing that feels the safest, really, and you go explore yourself. And if you listen to the series, it's a 6-episode series, it really digs into, you know, overcoming adversity, friendship, sex, love, and really what you do with the time that you have left when you realize that you don't have a lot of time. And Molly's journey was so profound that was a turning point in my career, because instead of it being about me, right? Like, oh, how do I move my career forward? In that moment, I realized that this story was so important to tell. And I took, even though I'm in the front seat of narrating the podcast, I felt like I took the back seat and I just allowed her story to be the beautiful element, that it was really about honoring her. And that felt really nice to do it from a place of like, of just love for someone, but also knowing that the story was so profound that it was going to affect people.
Well, when I hear that, I think of how miserable she must have been with the person she was with and said, you know what, life is too short to be miserable. I'm going to enjoy life. And that's what it meant for her. I mean, am I right?
Well, for her, I think her marriage was felt more of a friendship, right? And when you go through cancer with someone and you become sort of a caretaker of them, this yeah. I think the dynamic of your intimacy shifts and changes because you become – and so I think they had some things they needed to work through, and I think that she just wasn't feeling seen and desired as a woman, because when you have breast cancer, it takes away everything that makes you feel feminine, and I think she really wanted to navigate that part of her life, and she wanted to do it before she died. And it's really not just about sex. I can't tell you enough. Like, if you listen to it, it is, I mean, it's some of the most profound words that I've ever heard when it comes to digging in deep and doing work on yourself, and also deciding, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what's important to you? What do you need to heal before you leave this earth? And Molly, my friend, was very clear about that. And I think she's inspired a lot of people to look at death differently.
You know, so thinking about this in so many ways, the process, you never thought a podcast. Now, you're being very humble of some of the other success you've had in your career, but mm-hmm. why a podcast? And interesting question also to add to is Wondery. Explaining that podcast network compared to other platforms, what's the difference in Wondery? But first, let's kind of delve a little bit deeper into specifically the podcasting world and how you it was a great theme, but how it kicked off, and did you think it would have the success that it did?
The answer to the success part is I had no idea, right? Because when Molly and I first came up with this idea, we thought, oh, a TV show, right? But, you know, when they say an overnight success in this business, it means like overnight means 10 to 15 years. Right. I mean, there's never anything that comes quickly. I mean, Molly and I worked on this idea for 3.5 years before it even became the raw audio of the podcast, not even being produced. So this stuff takes time. Telling stories, digging in, takes a lot of time. So to answer your question, we had this idea. You guys, we pitched it to many production companies. We pitched it to networks. We pitched it to people, and everyone said, wow, this idea is profound and amazing. But getting someone to write you a big giant check to write a TV script is really difficult, right? Like, nobody puts their money where their mouth is. The beauty with Wondery was that when I brought them the raw audio files of what Molly and I had recorded, thanks to a friend of mine who owned a production company, we were working with them, and they encouraged us to record the podcast. But full disclosure, you know, I'm an audio person. I could have recorded a podcast in my house, and right. Molly and I thought, should we record this? Should we do it? But like, I kept rolling my eyes, like, another podcast? Like, are you kidding me? I don't want to do the podcast world. I was very not invested in the podcast world. Then I got to meet Wondery. And when I started listening to what they were doing, they have Dirty John, they have Dr. Death, they have, you know, Tiger King. And I started listening to the types of stories that Wondery was putting out. Very deep, very interesting storytelling with beautiful sound design, really beautiful story arcs. I was like, hey, they have something special. So they really helped me shape these 10 originally it was 10 raw episodes of me and Molly, and then they truncated it down to 6 episodes and created this beautiful series that honored all aspects of her life. And I could have not told the story that I told without Wondery. So they really do, they're storytellers at heart, and they have such a knack for tapping into the humanity of every story. And I love them.
That's a great thing. And that's the big thing. You need to have a team. If you're going to have success in any of these projects, do you think these YouTubers that are really successful don't have a great production team and promotion team? You got something wrong with the ones that are making all that money. They first maybe got the first 100,000 fans, then they invested that money back into promotion. So people thinking that they just could show up on video or show up in the podcast and not spend money or have a marketing team do it, you're not going to have success. And that's one thing. I mean, the amount of money that I've invested in 10 years in all my podcasting, radio shows, and all these different things, it was worth its weight in gold to get to where I am today. Now, to get to the next level, if that level is coming, you got to spend money to make money. And I think that, but I'm bringing up a more Wondery's that they see something special like your show, and they say they're going to invest because they know the investment will pay off big time for their company. For their podcasting network, for sure.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? There's a good lesson here that I'd love to share with you guys and listeners, because when I first sent the email to Wondery with my idea for Molly's show and some of the raw recordings, I sent the email and I just said, here's the story. I think it would be a good fit. Please let me know. Well, Molly had passed away, and I was sitting on these recordings and I didn't quite know what to do, right? I didn't know how to handle this. And Wondery had not responded to my email. And I thought, well, I guess that opportunity passed. And then I thought, what if they didn't get that email? Like, what if it slipped through? Or what if just for a moment there was a glitch? And I thought, I'm going to resend it. And turns out they had not received it. And then as soon as they did, they called me and took a meeting. So I say, better to send the second email, better to get that hard, firm no, right? Than to let it sort of, to wonder if it ever landed in the right person's arms. So I say, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease or whatever they say. It's better to be the squeaky wheel than to not have tried. So it was a really good lesson for me. And I'm so glad I sent that email because it made such a difference.
Yeah. And that's so true. Get their response, see the story and understand the story and see from there. Now, so you had success with that podcast. Now a new one. So the one you're promoting now is something different.
Yeah.
So tell us about the new one.
So the news show is called The Daily Smile, and it's Monday through Friday, and it's between a 10 and 15 minute story. And it's good news. It's something inspirational. It's something that'll make you laugh. It's something that'll make you think about things differently. And I think Wondery was really interested in injecting a little sunshine into people's lives, not only because of COVID and because of just the state of everything, but just because the way you start your day, it really influences the way you walk through the rest of your day. So if every morning or afternoon you decide to pop on The Daily Smile and you hear a story that connects you to humanity or a story that inspires you to be a better person, hopefully that ripple effect will like like, think about it. If you're on your way to work and you're like, I'm going to pop on the Daily Smile, and you hear a story about, you know, this a beautiful gesture of love, and then you walk into work and then you tell the person that you know that you see first, hey, I just heard the story and it was about this. And then that person tells the person at lunch. And then before you know it, this one little story has been shared with all of these people. And if it brings a smile to your face or a little warmth in your heart or makes you laugh, then I feel like that's a beautiful little gesture, and we need more of that in the world. So that's what the Daily Smile is all about.
Sounds great.
And see, and that's something make people smile, especially during this time. And we talked about the pandemic,
right now.
And now the other thing, Dave's smiling, and he's thinking, and then, you know, and you're just so, you're so engaging, and you see this.
Aww.
Is it a video podcast or just audio?
It's only audio, but the beauty about this podcast is that, you know, we it's a 10 or 15 minute story, so it goes by so quickly. But what's amazing about it is Wondery is so good at setting the scene and creating a vibe, and the sound design and the production and the quality of the stories are just, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sitting in my tiny little closet with, you know, the doors closed and my boyfriend's shoes and my stuff behind me and sweaters, and I'm trapped in this tiny little closet with a lamp. But what I'm doing and what I'm recording and the stories that I'm sharing with people are so moving and so beautiful that I feel like I could sit in that little closet for hours a day, just as long as I get to interview these people and tell these people stories. So it's pretty magical. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my favorite jobs I've ever had, because every time I'm finished doing an episode, I feel like I've experienced something really cool. And that's a nice feeling when you're
working. Do you really do that in your closet? That's your studio?
Yes.
Great acoustic. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I've done that before. It's awesome.
No,
it's pretty funny.
No, and see, and the closet, and I had to move. The pandemic moved
great
me to my own office at my mom's house. I had to leave my house because of my kids, and it got too crazy. And I'm so glad it was one of the best decisions, because when you are not interrupted, weren't doing a show, it's much better. I was able always to get away with it, but I was really skilled at it. But now I can feel like, but I love when people produce for me. I'm doing all this producing, checking out this, checking out the sound quality, all the thing through. But I love when I have a producer, because that's the hardest thing as a podcaster. When you don't have a producer and you're not able to do different things, and then, you know, the editing, I think. So define where you see things, podcasting versus radio. I am a radio guy. I think radio shows bring a credibility unless you're one of the top ranked podcasts. What's your opinion?
Well, that's funny, because I got my first job in the business way before TV. I was an intern at Q106.5 FM radio station in St. Louis, Missouri. I used to string the tape to tape, where you literally cut the tape and then like link it together for the commercials. I would do that, like old school editing. I used to do that. I love radio. I actually think that podcasting, I don't think of them as separate. I mean, I know that the radio, you know, it streams in a different way, but I think that the birthplace of podcasting really was radio. Stories, engaging people. And some of these podcasts are hours long, and I feel like it's so I feel like they help each other out. It doesn't feel so separate to me, but it's like giving props to the people that paved the way. I do feel that radio broadcasters and radio shows really did set the tone for what podcasters can can get away with. So I give props to radio. I love radio.
See, I like saying I have a radio show, but ultimately now I have to get more and more on the push of podcasting, because now I write for Podcast Magazine, and Podcast Magazine's fantastic. I'm a sports category director. Never thought I'd be a writer. Now, again, every time I'm wearing a new hat or a new opportunity, and it's so tough having to write a story. You're like radio show, you can just produce it and be done with it, and it's easy. Probably people that are great writers probably think producing a radio show is a lot of work, when it's a lot easier than writing an article. Trust me on that one. Writers.
Every radio show becomes a podcast, you know, after it's heard live.
Right.
True.
And you get so many more people listening to radio and or podcasts in the car, because they're going to and from work. Rush hour traffic. You have a captive audience. They're not going anywhere, as opposed to television. You know, most shows that I do are 1 hour podcasts or radio shows, as opposed to that 3 or 4 minute television segment, which many people put more of a value on. But hey, it's gone, boom, that's it. And it goes so fast.
Exactly.
I know.
All right, so Dave's last question is a caregiving question. So Dave, and I think it really the theme of the her podcast, the first podcast, has a lot to do with caregiving. So go ahead and ask that question.
Yeah, it did.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, oh, shucks. You know, I'm just a normal caregiver Dave. Was it Mobile Dave? They used to call me because I had a mobile gas station for 40 years. Still do. And one day my wife complains to me about this headache she had just when we were in the emptiness phase of life, you know, when we were supposed to have money and be traveling more, which we did and we tried to. But then that headache turned into a stroke, lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And for the next 2.5 years, our life turned upside down. You know, Charlene became angry and bitter at me because I was the only one around to receive that. And we actually almost broke up, but we hung in there. And she started becoming her old self again, and our love was rekindled. And then I realized there's so many other caregivers out there who are suffering and in pain, and I didn't want them to give up like I almost gave up. So I became Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And now I host a popular syndicated radio show. I've been in 35 TV shows in the morning all over the country, from Hawaii to Washington, D.C., spoken at Harvard, NASDAQ, Carnegie Hall with Martha Stewart and Suzanne Summers and Ice-T and Caitlyn Jenner, just sharing my message.
Wow.
How to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from actually killing you. So I started my caregiver website, caregiverdave.com. It's a membership site. It's an online support group. Anyone who goes there gets 3 free gifts right off the bat to help them get on the track for caregiving. So my question to you, Nikki, is I know you've already been touched by caregiving. What other caregiving family members, perhaps, or, you know, I like to say, if you're not a caregiver, just wait. You're either going to become one or you're going to need one. There's no escaping it. It's inevitable. Now's the time to learn how to be a caregiver, not after tragedy strikes. So tell me about your experience.
Oh, my God, I love that question. And I love that you and your wife survived and made it through together, and the patience and the love and the challenges. Like, I'm so sorry you went through that. But I do feel like those experiences shape us. Absolutely. It deepens things like in a way you can't ever imagine. That's amazing. I love that story. Thanks for telling me that. For me, in terms of caregiving, you know, it's interesting because I have 2 stepdaughters, and so from very early on in my relationship with my now fiance, we trying to navigate caring for children, right? And then my father was sick for a while. My brother was ill for a while. Exactly. And so there's just a feeling like I've always been a caregiver. But when my situation with Molly came up, I was her person. I was the person that went to doctor's appointments with her. I was the person that went through her blood work. And, you know, at the time she was married for some of that. So I don't want to take any of that away from her ex-husband. He definitely was a part of that world and very supportive of her. But I was the friend that she came to. I was her quote unquote person. And I think as a caregiver, like, I'm a firm believer that you are allowed to fill up your gas tank when needed, because there is no use in being completely tapped out and emptied, because then you're not going to be useful to the person that you're caring for. Right. So I feel like caregivers really need to look inward and say, what can I do to take care of myself so that I have the ability to even show up in the first place? So I think caregivers are probably some of the toughest, most beautiful people ever, because it becomes just part of their day to day, and it becomes like a selfless. They just become, that's who they become. But I really encourage people to say, don't get lost. What?
They can't help themselves.
Right. It just becomes habitual. And I say, don't lose yourself within the caregiving. Tune into yourself within the caregiving, and still grow and learn as a person, and still be who you need to be and honor yourself within that. And that was important for me with Molly, because there were some days where I just couldn't make it to the hospital because I was struggling with my own issues. And so I'd be honest with her. And I think people are so afraid to be honest with the people they're caring for. And I would say, Molly, I love you, but I can't come today. And I know you're struggling. struggling, and I know what you're dealing with is tenfold compared to what I'm dealing with, but I have to practice some self-care today. And okay. She really appreciated that. So I learned that in my process with her, and that made her feel more smart. Human. Yeah, it made her feel like
30% of them actually die before their loved ones do because they don't do that. They don't put their oxygen mask on first.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. That's a crazy statistic.
Dave, yeah. I think that you guys need to get together.
Yeah, you're both need to get, need to be on my radio show. Yeah.
I would love that. So,
that'd be awesome.
I will reach out to your to her publicist,
thank
but
you.
Ultimately, Dave, you
my
need
to...
My
girl will call your girl.
Yeah, right? So,
but Dave, am I the girl then? Oh, that's not good, Dave. No, good. No. So, all right, where can we find more information on you, Nikki, and stuff? Where can we go?
Well, I just love you for asking that. Thank you. You can always follow me on all social platforms. I post about all my podcasts at Nikki Boyer. That's NikkiBoyer. And then if you want to listen to Dying for Sex, it's available wherever you listen to your podcasts, 6 episodes. And then every day, if you subscribe to the Daily Smile on Wondery, or wherever you get your podcasts, it shows up in your feed every day. You can start, have a cup of coffee, walk your dog, make breakfast for the kids, whatever you need to do, but just listen to a fun, engaging, heartfelt news story every day because I feel like that'll just get you on the good foot. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys stopping by to chat with me today. And my day's not over yet. And remember, in just about a half an hour, I go live, so I got to get ready for my television.
Yeah, good luck. I can't
debate.
Wait to see this.
Right,
yay!
You'll give me your
congratulations
take.
Congratulations.
Oh, well, no. Congratulations.
Finally, it's the big time.
I know. It's not the big time yet once I'm in Washington, D.C. But but I appreciate you guys checking me out, chatting. It was great talking about podcasts, radio shows. Everyone needs to check out Nikki. And this was the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment, so I appreciate you guys.
Thank you guys for having me. I so appreciate
thank you. Thank you.
All right. Take
thank
care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.